Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, joined by Gordon Chang, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving Asia, and particularly our interests in that part of the world. Gordon is, of course, a remarkable font of information, notably through his Forbes.com and WorldAffairsJournal.com contributions, his columns there. Also, you see him with great regularity, I'm pleased to say, at Fox and in numerous other places. But I hope particularly prized is his time with us. It's always good to have you with us, Gordon. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Much news in the Asian theater these days. Maybe we could start with some that's relatively hot off the presses. Talk a bit, if you would, about what's happened in Taiwan with respect to the ruling party there and perhaps what it might mean for the relationship between China and the Taiwanese.
On Saturday, the ruling Kuomintang Party suffered its worst electoral defeat ever in what is called the 9-in-1 elections. These were elections for almost every office in Taiwan, except for president and for the legislature. And the opposition basically swept these elections, even in areas which had been KMT or Kuomintang strongholds. This is really a rejection of President Ma Ying-jeou, who's been a little bit less than competent in his administration of the government. But also, Ma Ying-jeou made China the issue in the elections, especially in the last 10 days. He has very China-friendly policies, and the people in Taiwan just rejected them because they feel that those relations with Beijing are not helping Taiwan's economy or Taiwan's society.
Gordon, it sounds as though President Ma did what President Obama did here in terms of putting the policies that were deeply unpopular very much on the ballot explicitly by urging people to vote on the basis of them. And with this repudiation, you say the legislature, the presidency itself has not been affected, but what changes do you anticipate that might portend in policy in Taiwan? And again, the relationship between the Chinese and Taiwanese is rarely harmonious, even with a president like Ma, who is intent on making them so. Where do things go from here, do you think?
Well, in about 15, 16 months, there are going to be presidential elections in Taiwan, and it appears that the Kuomintang will go down to defeat, especially because the opposition Democratic Progressive Party has more or less gotten its act together, and people certainly are on its side. Beijing was quiet during the election because it realized if it spoke out, it would be unpopular and probably not help Ma Ying-jeou. But we don't know what China will do now that its policies have been clearly rejected by people in Taiwan, because people in Taiwan don't see themselves as Chinese. Most of the people on the island view themselves as Taiwanese, and certainly they do not want to be part of a large authoritarian state, which China claims Taiwan. So from here on in, we're going to see very different policies, I think, because Ma Ying-jeou will not be able to really push his pro-China policies. And from 2016 on, we'll probably see a new president in Taiwan, a new governing party. That's not going to make Beijing too happy.
We're getting perhaps a taste of what China's view of all of this is at the moment in Hong Kong, Gordon, and we've been talking about this for some weeks since these protests began about 2 months ago now, that the Chinese have no appetite for tolerating the kind of opposition that has been expressed in the streets of Hong Kong. Tell us what's happening there now and what you expect might come of it.
What we're seeing right now is the government in Hong Kong is wrapping up the street protests. It got injunctions, and the police are now enforcing those injunctions. But the protesters seem to be fighting back because there's a split in the protest camp. Some people just want to end the protests, others want to continue them. But, you know, ending the protests is probably the worst thing from Beijing's point of view, because right now the people in Hong Kong are talking about the tactics of the protesters. Once the protests end, what's going to happen is people are going to focus on Beijing, because Beijing's policies are really what caused the protests in the first place. And also people just want more say in their lives. That's just natural. And what we're going to see, I think, is people focus in on Beijing's policies, which most people in Hong Kong don't like.
And to the extent that the protesters have alienated themselves from the population of Hong Kong, do you think, Gordon, that that is giving Beijing a freer hand in now violent crackdowns against the remnants of the protesters?
you know, Hong Kong society right now is pretty divided, with about 68-69% hoping that the protesters wrap up the street demonstrations. I think, though, that really we're seeing Beijing with very few good options, because right now, whichever way it goes, it's going to even further alienate the people in Hong Kong. And that really has been the underlying issue which caused the protests in the first place to start. I mean, these were completely unanticipated, and the protesters gained initially at least a lot of support in Hong Kong society. So I think that whatever Beijing does, even if it has a freer hand at this particular moment, isn't going to matter in the long-term outcome of this, because people in Hong Kong are going to continue to press for a greater vote, and this is going to be the important dynamic.
Gordon, you have also, of course, been following another story very closely, North Korea. You have written about it in your terrific book on the subject, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. What I'm interested in at the moment is what North Korea is doing and saying it is going to do in the face of a rather remarkable repudiation by the United Nations General Assembly. Even if they don't get referred to the International Criminal Court, thanks to their friends in Moscow and Beijing, Gordon, does this mark something of a new isolation for the Hermit Kingdom? And if so, how are you expecting they will respond?
Well, certainly I agree, Frank. I think that both China and Russia on the Security Council will veto a referral of North Korea for crimes against humanity to the International Criminal Court. But clearly what we have seen in the General Assembly Third Committee, which voted to refer North Korea, it is really a new attitude. And this was led by Japan and the European Union with the staunch support of the United States. And we saw just general support through the community of nations for this. I think the North Koreans will lash out. They are good at doing that. They're doing that right now against Sony Pictures for this movie, The Interview, which is supposed to be released on Christmas Day. And apparently North Korean hackers, with Chinese help and acknowledged beforehand, certainly have hacked Sony Pictures. What we have seen is, you know, the release of unreleased Sony Pictures to file sharing sites. This is really an unprecedented attack on an American-based business, and the United States needs to respond. So far, our response to North Korea, to China for hacking has been inert, and this really is going to be a problem.
This is all the more alarming insofar as we have recently been treated, as you know, Gordon, to warnings by the commander of U.S. Cyber Command that Chinese hackers have also been inside the control systems of U.S. utilities and have, he believes, the capacity of essentially cratering our electric grid and our society, should they choose to do so, that they've been conducting reconnaissance there already and could perhaps at will use this as an attack. This story with Sony Pictures is troubling. The Interview, I take it, is a film that is troubling the North Koreans because it is about North Korea?
It is about North Korea. It's a comedy where two American journalists try to kill Kim Jong-un, the ruler of North Korea, at the behest of the CIA. North Korea has gone ballistic over this picture before, and now it appears to have done something about it with Chinese help. And when this picture is released, which is supposed to be Christmas, we can expect even more attacks on Sony Pictures. This is something the United States needs to do something about, because every year the Chinese by themselves steal about $100 billion worth of intellectual property from American companies. This is a problem that's getting worse. The North Koreans see that we don't do anything about the Chinese, so they then think they have a free hand. And that's really been the issue here about this administration and the previous one not doing anything about Chinese hacking. We've sort of left the door open for the worst actors in the world.
Yeah, well, we will be watching, as you do so well, Gordon Chang, what the North Koreans do next. This is a troubling development, to say the least. I'm rather, frankly, surprised at Sony Pictures being willing to do this, especially if it possibly jeopardizes their ability to sell this product in the Chinese market, a place that they've been busy, as have other U.S. entertainment companies. Gordon, thank you, as always, for your insights and for the great work you do at Forbes.com, WorldAffairsJournal.com, and also, of course, at Fox News and elsewhere. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week. Next up, Christian Whiten. He is the author of Smart Power: Between Diplomacy and War. Straight ahead.